will give it to you. Won't rebuke you. He won't chasten you. He'll give you it if what? You ask in faith. Meaning what? No, it means you're willing to do what He tells you. You're willing to receive and walk in what He says. Maybe something simple like, get rid of your car. Maybe something simple like, quit your job. And maybe something simple like, go to work. Now, those things aren't simple, but they would be if you loved Him. If I told Cece, you know, honey, I just don't like that. I don't know what it is. I just don't like that cologne or perfume you wear. You know what she'd do? Stop wearing it. She'd go down and get it and give it away to somebody else to throw it away. That's what she would do. She would go, oh, well, geez, you know, that costs a lot of money. Or, oh, geez, I got six of those because I ordered a case. Or, oh, gee, I got a great deal on eBay. Or, you know, I mean, she wouldn't do that. If I don't like something, why is that? Well, she's just your doormat. She loves me, and most of what she does for me anyway. And you know what? If I'm living my life to serve you, and you say, I don't like that, and when you do that, it hurts, why would I keep doing it? Why would I not go, oh, geez, I'm sorry, I won't ever do it again? If really I'm living for you, now if I'm living for me, you're going to have 10 people and 7 reasons before you're going to stop that behavior. You're going to need a lot more than me telling you, because you're not living for me. Well, if we're living for Jesus, how many times does He have to ask us? How many times does He have to say, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Do? We don't even remember what He says. Do you see what I'm saying? We don't remember. Forget doing. So we need the scripture that says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not remember what I said? Now, that's not what He said, but we need to start there. And after we get past the remembrance, then we can start the doing. That's right. And if we're in the Word, we'll hear the Word when it's spoken. This is the big deal. If you're in the Word, when the Word's spoken to you, you'll recognize it. Did you ever get something, a gift? Did you ever get a gift? Probably you got a bunch of them a couple days ago. Did you ever get a gift from somebody and you're looking at it and you're trying to figure out where it fits, where you're going to put it, what you're going to do with it? See, we're so used to that, we just put it somewhere. We are, and do you know what that is? That is the manifestation of your life. My life. We get something, where can I put this? Look where I'm on. Won't fit there, won't fit there. Put the towel down. You know, okay, now, all of us go through that, right? Do you go through that? Wonder where you're going to put something somebody gave you? What happens when you open up a present that you really have been needing? You got a place for it already. Dusted, painted, right there is a place for that. You were going to buy it yourself. You were going to purchase this thing yourself to put there because that was the next thing on your list, and you get it. Is there any thought about where it goes? Well, see, this is how words and spirits are with us. We receive words that have no bearing on what I'm doing. I get up in the morning, I'm going to go to work, I'm praying, and a word comes to me, you know, you need to tell so-and-so that you think that they should quit their job. Or you need to, you get this word, this thing, about somebody else that has nothing to do with your authority, has nothing to do with anything that you've talked to them about. In other words, it really doesn't fit. There's no place for this thing that you're getting. What do you do with it? You keep it, you work it, you continue to figure out some way that you're going to work this into that person's life. Am I making sense here? Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Getting involved in things that don't belong to you? This is no different. And how about just a distraction that you're in the midst of doing something, or you're sitting down to maybe you want to read a chapter of a book, or you want to read a chapter in the Bible, or you want to, there's something that you've set aside to do, and then you look around the room and, oh gosh, that picture needs straightening, and oh geez, you know, the floor is pretty dirty, and you start vacuuming, and has that ever happened to anybody? And it's robbery. It's robbery. It's those things, and now those are simple things, but it shows our lack of spiritual discipline. And it shows how easily we're led off the path. Now, it's not even a sin, but it's a distraction. And it robs from our time. And it takes us off. There's been times that I've come up in my office and sat down and started doing something, started reading the Word, and I looked around and said, you know, this place doesn't feel, and I look at the floor and it needs to be vacuumed and the coffee table needs to be dusted. I'll get up. This has happened several times. Get up, go grab the vacuum, do the coffee thing, and while I'm up, I say, you know, I think I'll make some tea. Make some tea. Sit down, and guess what happens? Somebody comes to the door that I didn't even expect. One morning, it was Mike Stock showed up. Wasn't he? Unannounced. And my office was ready. The tea was on. I was ready for him. That's being led. There's been other times when I've gotten involved in that, and it was a waste of time, and you know, I got robbed from it. I mean, it's happened to me, too. That's not how I'm talking about it. And it's all words. We've got to judge the words in our life. I want to give you another scripture, Matthew 7. You don't have to turn to it. It's 7:21. Everybody knows this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And the scripture that goes with that is Luke. And it's Luke 6:46. And I already quoted it. But I want you to listen to this. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Now listen. Whosoever comes to me and hears what I'm saying, but does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man that built his house, dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood came and the stream beat on the house could not be shaken. Because the words that he was given, she was given. She received, she walked in it, and at any given time be ready to give an answer of the hope that's in you. There should be hope in every one of you tonight. And in case you missed the message, here's where your hope is. Your hope is the words of life that are spoken to you by the Spirit, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in the dream, whether it you hear it on the TV, whether you read it in the Bible, whether you hear it at a meeting, the words that are spoken to you from the Spirit, if you receive them, and receiving them means that you took them consciously, received them into your heart, wrote it down, decided you're going to pray about it, get in the Word about it, and then fellowship it the first chance you get. That's the hope in you. The hope that all of us have is the last word that Jesus gave us. My current hope is what the Lord has said to me last. That's my current hope. My hope is the revelation of light that I have right now. That's my hope. And if I walk in that, when somebody comes up and said, did you get anything out of the meeting? You won't have to ask one question. You'll say, let me tell you what I got. And you'll have it because it'll be life in you. How'd you like the movie? Oh man, it was great. And this, what'd you think about this part, that part, that part? You see, because you received it, it brought you life. The Word should do that to us. That's having a little bit of a revival in our soul. But he that hears and does not. He that hears and does not is like the man without a foundation. Built a house on the earth, and against which the stream beat, and immediately it fell. Immediately it fell. Do you know how you can judge whether you have a foundation in you or not? How big of a situation does it take you to come apart? How many words spoken by somebody does it take before you come apart emotionally? I don't care what they are. How easy is it for you to become emotional? To enter into conflict, to get angry with your husband, to get angry with your wife, to get defensive. How many words, how easy is it for you to become defensive? And go ahead, you know what that shows? No foundation. You gotta look at that. You got to look at that. How easy is it for the devil to lead you off into lust or vanity or fantasy? How easy? Someone says something about your husband. How easy is it for you to hate your husband right then and there? No foundation. That's what that is, by the way. You have no foundation. And you need to seriously look at that. What am I talking about? No foundation in what? The Word. Your foundation is in the strength of your own power to make Him love you. Or your own power to make her submit to you. That's what it is. You might not like to hear it, but that's what it is. If your foundation was really in the Word, you could endure and bear with words of conflict against your husband, against your wife, You could bear with that, and you could reserve judgment, and you could reserve being emotional because you'd have a foundation in the Word. Your foundation would be in Jesus and in the Word. You could lose your job. You could have the threat of losing your job. All these things would not shake you. We're getting shaken in this ministry by nothing. Some of us in this ministry are getting shaken by nothing. Nothing shakes us. And you know what? We're not getting the message. We're not getting the message. The message isn't, so-and-so shook my tree. That's not the message. It's not about so-and-so. It's about your foundation, which is lacking. Seriously. We've got rough times coming up. We've got both rough times and glorious times coming up. The darker the world gets, the more we're going to shine. That's the truth, you know. The more power of Satan in this age, the more power God releases to his saints. That's the truth. The darker this age becomes spiritually, the more power and light and energy and strength and vitality the true people of God are going to have. But the people that are connected to the world system, the people that are compromised and have a spiritual mix going on in them, the compromisers and the ignorant, they're going to get overcome. They're going to be standing against God's people and against His Word and against His Christ. The Word says so. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't even think of it in terms of losing my salvation or my eternal position with the Lord or whatever. I look at it totally different. I'm not concerned with that aspect of it. I'm concerned with being a player. I want to be a player. I want to be someone that the Lord Jesus looks down on and say, I've got a good man there, I've got a good woman there, I got people over here. I want him to see us as a fortress. I have a fort in Billings. I have people in Billings, and I'm not talking about just this ministry. Because when the Lord looks down to Billings, he doesn't just see this little group and that little group, and you know, he sees all his children that are walking in the light. Now, there are authority figures that he puts into the body. There is a pecking order. There are apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. There is an authority structure in the church. And not this church, as it were, but in the church universal. Universal means what? Universe. What's it mean? Universe means one. Unit is one. And verse is the spoken word. Universe, one spoken word. Another thing the scientists don't believe. That they say universe is, universe that. Don't believe God created. No. But the fact is, I want to be a player. I want to be used. It's not a matter of just overcoming my lies and my lust. It's a matter of moving beyond that and recognizing the lie and recognizing the lust in others. Because I've overcome it, I have a testimony. So, I encourage you and admonish you to look at the Word differently. What are you eating? Because change works both ways. You change toward darkness without thought, and you change toward righteousness without thought, in this sense. When you start receiving the word of righteousness and the word of life, the change that comes upon you is beyond what you could have produced if you thought about it. It is much easier to change toward darkness than it is light, because there's nobody resisting you except us. The world is agreeing with you. Liz, she's out there and the world's telling her everything's fine. Nobody here's telling her everything's fine, but she won't talk to us. Of course. She doesn't want to know things aren't fine. It's much easier to go downstream. You don't have to swim. You just float. That's why it's important that you know that you live in a state of war. And if you can't get it through your head, then put it on your mailbox. On the back of your mailbox, put entering war zone. And on the front of your mailbox, put entering heaven. Because your home should be heaven. And everything outside is the war zone. And if the war zone's in the house, then put entering the war zone in my house on both sides. At least live in reality. Until things change. Yeah, that's what I said. Yes. However you want to word it. Yes. Well, let's pray. Please stand. Now there's several that didn't make the meeting tonight, so all of us know who they are. And of course, when you see them, you're going to have something to say to them. Please don't give them a report. Please don't give them a dead letter outline. See, that's why the Lord has kind of created me the way I am, because it's hard to give an outline to my meetings. Well, let's see. Was that A, B, or C? I don't know, because he jumped back and forth so much. I wish he'd just learned how to do a 7-point sermon. His hermeneutics suck. But if you have a spirit in you, you can receive life here. And I dare say that the Spirit can speak to you. And I think he has spoken something to everybody. So just take what he's spoken to you. That's your light. Whatever you feel like you got tonight, please, that's what you take. You write it down. You walk and pray about it. You know, walk and pray the thing. It was in the archives that we had that, you know, walk and pray. That you remember walk and pray. Walk, talk to the Lord. It's not walk and think. Okay, it's walk and talk, pray, verbally, audibly, that means out loud. Talk to Jesus, walk. And if you're afraid to do that in your neighborhood, go out in the field and walk and pray about the life that you got, about the little thing that you heard that excited you or that you felt like the Lord was saying to you. Walk and pray about it. Get into the Word, read about it. If you have a hard time knowing where to read, share with somebody. Say, you know, this is what came to me. Where's that in the Word? Ask somebody. God forbid that you would ask somebody. Ask somebody where it's at, and they'll help you. And then you can go through the chain, and you can read what the chain, all the different scriptures it has to say about you becoming a millionaire. I hope you didn't hear that tonight. But, you know, whatever you heard. You know what I'm saying? Walk and pray about it. Get in the Word about it. The next time you see somebody, you guys have coffee tomorrow morning?